This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Broadcasting live from Minneapolis, St. Paul on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Good to be with you today. Matt, Brett here today, and Jeff Stein joining us at his usual 3:35 spot. We'll talk, obviously, about what happened yesterday in the January 6th hearings that happened there, and just the evidence being out there that, yeah, this was the plan, was to storm the Capitol and try to overthrow the government. So we'll talk to Jeff about that. Brett, how are you today?
I'm all right. How about you?
I'm fine. I'm a little bit later on the 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to talk about a frustrating experience from earlier in the day. But I had a few of them. I had one. My daughter broke her retainer, and you know, I don't know. It's she said, I can't be blamed for this, Dad. I said, why? I said, look, it's just a flimsy piece of plastic. And I looked at it now. Did you, you know, when you were a child, did you have a lot of dental care?
Oh, yeah. I did the retainer and everything. Yeah. Yep.
I had braces. Back then, it felt like they were putting a piano wire on my teeth. And they'd actually, you know, to tighten my braces, brought out the Black & Decker set. You know, they'd bring in, like, the Phillips head screwdriver. And like, all right, you're going to feel a little tightening. You know, it was one of those things. You know, today, it's, you know, hey, we're just going to put this little mouth thing in there, and don't worry, it will adjust slightly. No, don't get me wrong. I mean, not everyone's the same. But, it's a very different existence. But the reality is I've got relatively straight teeth today because, you know, I went through Olga's pit of death and got my teeth nice. Oh, look at that. Nice and clean. Should have gone to Shamblot. And so, no, I mean, look good. They look nice, huh? Now they've, once again, they do things nicer. But they also do things kind of on the cheap. And it's interesting because today, of course, you hear the story of the inflation, and inflation is very high. And by the way, it's, you know, and I'm not saying this is not a consolation prize, but it is still a lot better than in Europe. Holy God, they're having a heck of a problem. The euro now is equal to $1. That is amazing.
What's so, Turkey? Like, they're at 100% inflation, aren't they?
Yeah, they're
crazy.
It's some places it's just insane. Anyway, but it still is pretty high here, that's for sure. And by the way, I don't know if you should call it inflation. I think it's just good old-fashioned American greed, because the reality is all these companies are making profits hand over fist. I mean, they are just tons of money. And usually when there's inflation, the profit margins aren't, wow, it's another record quarter, you know, one of those things. I go into my garage. In my garage, I have got a Sears cooler that my dad gave me when my dad would hunt all the time, and, you know, and go fishing, and he'd do these weekend trips. And what he'd do is he would avoid the traffic coming back to the cities. He'd wait till first thing in the morning, first light, get in the car, drive back down. He had a freezer at his office. He ran a company he was very successful with, Surgidyne. And he would put the take-ins in the cooler and then get ready and get changed for work. And he'd freeze it there, and then he'd just take it home that afternoon. It was a way for him to kind of maximize his time. And it also, let's be honest, get a little extra fishing, a little hunting in, you know, that sort of thing. So he had this freezer, and when he sold his business, he said, you know, do you want the freezer? I'm like, sure. This is 25 years ago. The thing was old when I got it. It is, you know, very old now. It's one of the best working things I've got in my house. My kids don't work that hard. My God. And it really does. There is an element of our society where everything has become so disposable. And so, you know, do we really need to make something that's going to last the entire time? Or, you know, should we just make it to where it's going to last a few years and they'll just go get another one anyway? When was the last time you saw a piece of technology today that was, you know, made and it's like, you know, 15 years later still runs like a you know, runs like a whistle. No problem whatsoever.
I've actually still got my personal computer that's about 15 years old. It was state-of-the-art at the time, but it's still...
What is it,
great.
284? What is it? 286. You got it from Finger Hut. Nice!
Yeah. No, I know your most stuff does not last like that, though. Anything, well, yeah, it's that philosophy. Well, let's get a new one.
And that's an interesting argument, because is it just the fluke? Do I have the freezer that's just the fluke? All the rest of the models, they all, the same ones, you know, collapsed. I did have a friend who drove a Chevy Citation. Remember that? Oh, my God.
Wait, the name of the car was the Citation?
The Citation, which you are going to get. Well, not so much Citation. Lots of towing, though. I mean, you might want a discount package. See if you can get a punch card. But they had the Chevy's attempt at the hatchback. It was just a god-awful car. He drove his for years. He never had a problem. It was, I mean, I think the natural color off the factory floor was yellow for lemon. It comes in yellow. That's pretty much it. And it did actually kind of look a little like a lemon. So you see it? You pulling up the picture of this?
Yeah, yeah. That's not a pretty car.
It is not. It was a worse engine. You know, think about that. No, there are those exceptions to the rule where you have, you know, the one kid who gets a retainer who basically gnaws, you know, has stress dreams like, you know, a person hiding in the underground and, you know, but yet never manages to break it. Then there's the kid who's basically always never does anything wrong and it cracks on the first day. I mean, there's always those outliers, but I just don't think stuff today lasts like it does. And I wonder how much that's, you know, contributing to inflation. They know that you're going to have to go replace your fridge and your dishwasher. I mean, I would go to my grandmother's house and it's like, you know, is this a place in the icebox for a chunk of ice? Did the ice man go, oh yeah, it still works like a charm. We retrofitted it with a propane freezer. What? Oh yeah, it still works great. You know, that's 70 years later. I mean, nowadays you buy one of those. I bought my fridge in my house. My fridge is new. I bought it. The door handle busted off in 4 weeks. 4 weeks. Still haven't replaced it. I mean, so I just kind of opened it. Just grabbed the whole door and opened it up that way. Yeah, it just was so infuriating. But, I mean, that's kind of the way things are now.
Think about phones. Not the best example, but, I mean, like Apple's admitted that they purposely will make their phones not work after a couple of years. Yeah. So you get a new one. I mean, it happens, yeah.
Oh, no, not that problem. Here, look, it's green and cost $1,200.
We're not going to troubleshoot your problem. Just get a new whatever you have.
is that what the Apple, you know, tech services become, hey, dude, pick another one. Just go, you know,
yeah.
Pick another one. We'll set it up. We already have your payment system. We'll set it up. You'll just get your bill will change slightly. Off you go. Have a nice day.
Why repair when you can get new?
Maybe that's what the whole problem, a lot of our problem is that the keeping up with the Joneses stuff is basically exactly that. I had what was that car? Mazda. Protege, a Mazda Protege, and we lost the clutch on it. It was a manual. Oh, I was so excited getting ready to teach the kids how to drive a stick shift. It was a manual. And when the clutch went out on it, I took it to get serviced. Now, I am a guy that remembers clutches used to go out on cars all the time on manuals. You just lose it. You kind of, they just wore down. And I wasn't exactly sure the work around it, but it was like, okay, you bring it in, give them 8 hours, they'll come back, here you go, new clutch, you're set to go. And it was probably $200-$300 back then, maybe $400. The guy looks at me and says, oh, well, now, once again, I understand inflation, all that stuff. He looks at me and goes, it's going to be $2,500 to replace the clutch. I'm like, what? $2,500 to replace a clutch? Yeah, he says the engines are not designed for you to open them up. You know, you actually have to open the engine up to replace the clutch now. It's not like they used to be. And I'm like, oh, okay, so we've created disposable cars now. That when the clutch goes out in a car, you need to replace it. What happens when the wiper blades go bad? Oh, well, no, so much for that. Better go get a new one.
Oh, that could very easily be a thing, yeah.
I shouldn't give people ideas.
The wiper blades are gone, oh, yeah. Well,
I shouldn't give people ideas. No, I'm don't get me wrong. There is a lot of great products that are being made, today. There are, and speaking of cars, I will tell you this: I'm one of the big sponsors of this show up here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, is Rudy Luther Toyota, and the Toyota dealership. Those Toyotas are fantastic. I've been driving them for years, and I stand by them. They're fantastic vehicles. I'm not going to be that contrived, you know, old guy. I remember back in the day, but I will say that it is remarkable sometimes how, you know, you will buy something, and I just grew up with this mentality is like, oh, if I buy a dishwasher, I don't have to replace that dishwasher for 25, 30 years. And now it's you need to replace that dishwasher pretty soon. And yeah, it's pricey. It just gets pricey. It wouldn't mind it so much if it was like, okay, if it was an affordable replacement, you know? Will we get back to the days where most people had a buddy? One guy knew electronics, one guy knew carpentry, one guy knew plumbing, one guy knew the electrical systems of houses. That, you know, if it comes down to it, there's a guy that will, hey, can you fix the TV? And he'll bring it on in, and yeah, he'll do it for $40 as opposed to buying a new one for $2,500. Do you think that's coming down the line, or do you think it's just we've gone too far past that technology scale that's just not a feasible option anymore?
I don't know. Even if you can get people that can do those things, nowadays they probably purposely make products so you can't repair them unless you have, you know, an actual professional certification or really know what you're doing.
I bought a Canon printer one time. A Canon printer. It had problems. Oh, you need to take it to the nearest authorized dealer. Where's that? Eau Claire. Oh, let me just hop on in the old jalopy and go for the 90-minute drive to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, so I could drop off a printer. Wow. Yeah. No, it's... Oh, thank gosh, corporate profits are through the roof. Thank God for that. I'm so glad. It doesn't hurt at all. Not at all. 952-946-6205. Hey, I got a jackass Republican in Ohio I need to talk about. That coming up in just a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When I see your face, mellow as the month of...
It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM, the Shaw and Waukesha, Milwaukee area. Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus, and of course on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minneapolis and Minneapolis, St. Paul. Good to have you with you. Hi, I'm Matt. All right, so I don't know if you caught conservative media the last few days. Conservative media has been, they have the overturning of Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court. And immediately there was a case that came on out that people were saying that, well, now you have in Ohio, are you going to force a 10-year-old who's been raped to have to carry that rape victim's child to term? Is that what you're going to do? And it was a question that clearly a lot of Republicans were like, because it's basically, this is the world. They didn't think about the consequences of this stuff. They don't. They just basically put out talking points and say, vote for me, I'm Republican. And so they basically, you know, couldn't answer the question. And there was all of a sudden a new narrative out there that from the Republicans, those liberals, they made this story up. This person didn't exist. This is just a myth. And a lot of Republicans had been screaming that, oh, this 10-year-old didn't, where is the victim? Show me where there's a victim. Huh? Can't. You can't do it, can you? Oh, yeah, this is like Bigfoot. It doesn't even exist. Yeah. The same people that keep screaming, good guy with a gun will stop the bad guy with a gun, all of a sudden has the audacity to start talking about what is and is not real. Okay, sure. Well, the sad reality is this is a true story. An Ohio man was arrested in the rape and impregnation of a 10-year-old girl after the state's Republican attorney general cast doubt on the story that drew international attention. Gerson Fuentes, 27, of Columbus, confessed to raping the child at least once, according to police, and was charged with rape after police were alerted to the girl's pregnancy from Franklin County Children's Services, a little over a week before she traveled to Indianapolis for an abortion, reported the Columbus Dispatch. The girl's mother reported the pregnancy to social workers on June 22nd, 2 days before the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that ended abortion rights. She traveled out of state on June 30th to obtain a medical abortion in a case cited by President Joe Biden and covered extensively by news organizations around the world. Oh, Joe Biden made up this story. Joe Biden. Oh, it's real. I never questioned it. Bull crap. You just a whore. All you Republicans are just horrible, horrible human beings. You really are. You're not Christian in any capacity. You're just horrible people. You really are. Just last week, it was reported that a 10-year-old girl was a rape victim in Ohio, 10 years old, and she was forced to have to travel out of state into Indiana to seek a terminated pregnancy and that maybe to save her life, Biden said during a speech to Reproductive Rights last Friday. That's the last part in my judgment. 10 years old. 10 years old. Raped. 6 weeks pregnant. Already traumatized. Was forced to travel to another state. Imagine that being little girl. Just – I'm serious. Just imagine being that little girl. 10 years old. Does anyone believe that in the highest majority view that we should not be able to deal that should not be able to be dealt with or in any other state in the nation? The president added, a 10-year-old should be forced to give birth to a rapist child. I can tell you what I don't. I can't think of anything as much more extreme. Calling it out. The judge has set bond for $2 million on Fuentes, who's believed to be an undocumented and a flight risk. His DNA is being tested against samples collected by the girl in Indiana, where the abortions are still permitted after a fatal heartbeat has been detected, unlike in Ohio. The Wall Street Journal cast doubt on the reports about the girl a day before Fuentes' arrest, calling the case an abortion story too good to be confirmed. Ha! Gotcha! Oh, it's real? Oh, Wall Street Journal, you suck. Are you guys going to come on out with your editorial department saying, gosh, we were wrong, horribly wrong, we are so sorry? This is a 10-year-old girl that's been raped, and you guys basically accused her of lying and not even existing. Isn't that the epitome of the conservatives today? Just so quick to say, you don't even exist. Just horrible people. Just horrible people. But not as bad as the amazing jackass as the Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost, who questioned the story this week on Fox News during an interview on Tuesday with USA Today, saying there is not a damn scintilla of evidence the story was true. This is the Ohio Attorney General, the state where this girl is raped, and he is out there authoritatively saying you do not exist after this woman, this young girl, this 10-year-old girl was raped. Because it did not agree with his politics. He didn't even bother to find out if the story was true before he went on his tour to basically go badmouth it. It makes you ask, first of all, once again, think about that. The head of law in Ohio, when a story comes on out that disagrees with his political narrative, he denies it actually happens, further victimizing the 10-year-old girl and her family. How horrible, you anti-Christian jackass. Wow. But then it does lead to the question, has this guy done this before? Is this the first time he has denied a crime happened because the narrative doesn't fit with his political worldview? There's not a damn scintilla of evidence. When approached and told him, oh, by the way, we've arrested the guy that raped the 10-year-old, he issued a one-sentence statement Wednesday after news broke that Fuentes had been arraigned. We rejoice anytime a child rapist is taken off the streets. You didn't even bother to see if the story was legitimate before you went on your campaign to discredit it, you jackass. Oh, by the way, completely unrelated, I imagine. Completely unrelated. 2 hours after this story broke, the Ohio Attorney General, Dave Yost, has been diagnosed with COVID away from the public. Oh, how convenient for you. How convenient that you're able to get the medical care that you need and the privacy that you desire, Attorney General Yost. God, you are I'm with a lot of people. I don't think the guy's really got the COVID. I don't think he does, but even if he is, Just you're just a horrible human being. And you are the least Christian human being I've ever seen in one of my least Christian human beings I've ever seen in my life. To sit there and go on out there and say, not, oh my God, we got to make sure there's justice for this girl, but instead go out there and say she doesn't exist. 952-946-6205. Mark from the SAC is joining us. He wanted to chime in really quick. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, well, it's just ridiculous here. The 10-year-old, was she fourth or fifth grade? And and this guy's denying her existence as being a rape victim. I mean, it is just tragic beyond belief. I mean, and the fact that 10-year-old girls are hitting menses anyway is what's going on there, because that's changed a lot since I was, girls didn't used to hit that till like they're
yeah, and indeed, Mark, and thank you, Mark. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, because I'm at the break here. I got to get this in. No, it is. There's a lot here, but the reality is the Attorney General of Ohio re-victimized the 10-year-old rape victim because he just didn't like the political narrative of that story. The Civic Media Radio Network. It's the Matt McNeil Show on a Wednesday. Listen in Milwaukee on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus, and Waukesha, WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM The Shaw, as well as in Minneapolis, St. Paul on AM 950. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good to have you with us. Once again, I do remind people that you do have a lot of ways you can get in touch with us, and we do enjoy when you do get in touch with us. You can get in touch with us via the phone line 952-946-6205. Comment at am950radio.com is the email. The Twitter page is Matt McNeil Show, at Matt McNeil Show. Progressive Citizen X, Matt McNeil Show on Facebook. And, of course, you can podcast and stream us everywhere. God, technology is great. I got into this business going, I could sit in a room by myself and talk to myself. The reality is now you're all in my life. So, and bon appetit. We got Jeff. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. Noted author. You can find his books at your favorite book site, as well as totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report and the Iowa Politics Report come to us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa. And he's joining us. You're in Des Moines right now, right?
I am. Good afternoon, Matthew. Good. I am in Des Moines at the studios of the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Had some business, some interviews at the state capitol, and didn't want to miss an opportunity to talk to you and the fine folks in Minnesota and Wisconsin.
I'm in the metro area of the Twin Cities. I miss agricultural radio. I did enjoy that. There was a way for you to, even if you didn't work in agriculture, that you could kind of at least get a feeling of what was going on there. That's what I always loved about it.
Well, if you like to eat, then you need to appreciate the entire agribusiness industry. And trust me, I love to eat.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all of us. It is a shame, though. I think in the larger metro areas, they don't do more of that. I really do think that would be an important thing. Needless to say, a discussion for another day. Hey, did you see what happened in D.C. yesterday? Holy God, man. Your thoughts on the latest January 6th hearing at the Capitol?
Well, what aspect do you want to grab onto? The fact that an individual who's being investigated reportedly was calling witnesses ahead of time. The fact that witnesses were calling back to their former bosses for financial help. I mean, this thing is just – there are no boundaries, are there?
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, Liz Cheney at the very end basically said we've got word. And I misquoted this in the 3 o'clock hour yesterday, because the way it said it is he tried to call witnesses. He actually tried to contact witnesses is the right term. He was trying to get in touch with one of the witnesses and call them directly, which is textbook, voter intimidation, or not voter, witness intimidation. And he was desperately, it's almost so boneheaded. You can't even believe that he would even try it, but he did. The individual avoided the call. Contacted their lawyer. Lawyer contacted the committee. Committee contacted the Department of Justice. They're investigating. That alone is a pretty serious charge, correct?
Well, sure. The rules for a congressional hearing are very different than a court of law. But let's say this was a court of law, and I'm a prosecutor, and you are someone we're investigating, and you start calling witnesses that I intend to bring forward to a jury or a commission. That is classic witness tampering in a criminal or civil situation. Different rules for Congress, but in fact, not as stringent as in a criminal or civil case. But you have to assume, and you have documented and discussed various atrocities that you are pointing toward the 45th president as having committed. Has he actually ever been caught, punished in any way, sanctioned for any of them? The answer is no, and that's why he keeps doing it, because there have not been any repercussions as of yet.
And there doesn't seem to be a lot of urgency from Merrick Garland right now, which is interesting considering the other things we learned yesterday. So,
well, here's the thing with regard to the Attorney General. I think at this point he's trying to just sit back and not preempt anything, because if, in fact, this commission is acting independently, the idea is let them do their work, then they can make a referral. I think he does not want to ruin a possible prosecution in advance by doing something premature. That's just a guess on my part as a lawyer, but it makes sense that you just wait till the whole thing plays out and potentially for the Trump side to fall into a trap again.
You and I talked a few weeks ago about how many people are going to have to fall on swords here. And yesterday it became pretty clear there's going to be a lot of sword falling going on. It might be an Olympic sport after this is all done. You have the December 14th, the Electoral College meets, Biden's the president. December 18th, the crazies show up at the White House with the executive order to have the military confiscate all election equipment in the country. That doesn't seem fishy, to where White House counsel, before Trump could sign it, ran down there and said, "Where's your evidence?" And they basically admitted, "We don't have the evidence, but are you trying to win or not?" And so then comes out of that the plan to march on the Capitol, which wasn't just organic. It was coordinated. You had on the 21st of December a bunch of Republican politicians meeting at the White House to be the point people in the Capitol on the ground in Congress. You had, you know, Roger Stone and Michael Flynn working with these extremist groups to make sure they were there, who were clearly there not just to protest, but with far more nefarious options. And then what I thought was the most damning piece of evidence against Trump was the January 4th memos, where basically he is saying, "I'm going to tell them to march on the Capitol. I'm going to leave it out of the speech because I don't want people to basically talk me out of it." And so it was predetermined, premeditated, that he was going to basically order the angry mob after they riled them up at the on the mall to go attack the Capitol. I mean, it was an attempted overthrow of the government, and they laid it out for the first time, I thought, yesterday. They laid out the entire thing, and yeah, it seems like they have the receipts for it too.
One of the difficult things for defenders of the former president to be able to answer for is that tweet that says, "See you all on January 6th at the Capitol, going to be wild." Well, what are you going to use as a defense? Well, he meant, you know, like wild, kind of hipster 1960s wild. You have to know the audience. You have to know their relationship with the speaker. It's very difficult to suggest that when the president himself says do this because it's going to be wild, well, does that alone help explain why the Capitol was breached while the president was still speaking, or people were gathering at the very least? The president's defenders like to point to his speech the day of the 6th. But the speech alone on the 6th was pretty neutral. How did you get all those people there on the 6th, though? Mm-hmm. That's the connection. But here's the thing that I have some concerns about, and I'm not suggesting anything other than to say, when you have any member of the committee do an interview and say, "I am going to make sure that person never is president again," why? Why make such a statement? Why get in your own way? I mean, that's the kind of thing that if I'm somebody working with that commission behind the scenes, I would say, "Guys, dummy up and let the hearings speak for themselves."
Well, okay, I'm not gonna take the molehill and turn it into a mountain to try to obscure the Rocky Mountain range we got a view of yesterday, and frankly, I'm gonna call that one out. Don't you know, just because someone says something, don't try to find ways to dismiss the committee, because the reality is you're right. The Trump speech was fairly innocuous until he said, "Go get him." And I'm paraphrasing there. Rudy Giuliani trial by combat. I mean, there clearly was this movement. But overall, I mean, I think now what you do is you now have the ability and the evidence. I don't think Donald Trump should go and be the president in a sense. I think he should be in jail personally for trying to overthrow the government of the United States. I don't have any problem with that. That doesn't dismiss or diminish, you know, the investigation. And so I'm not going to go down that path. But what I will say is I think now you definitely have to look at the Department of Defense, the orders to the military, the orders, the reluctance because of the weird jurisdiction issues that D.C. has with police and how things work there, mm-hmm. the orders that were coming from the White House on what could and could not happen. Reminder, one of the things that was first pointed out after this is that when Black Lives Matter was protesting in Washington, D.C., it looked like there was, you know, military brigades running up and down the place to try to prevent anything bad from happening. But there was hardly anyone there to stop this campaign. I think that when you look at what exactly happened, I think it's only going to – you're going – like I said, there are going to have to be a heck of a lot of people to fall on swords for Trump to be able to now at this point just be able to say I was an innocent victim, which by the way – can we point out Liz Cheney even approached saying this is a 76-year-old man. This isn't an impressionable child. You cannot say that he didn't know what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing as it was going on.
Well, again, I'm not equivocating extra commissioned statements to then obviate anything that came out of the hearing. I'm just simply saying, because you and I have talked about this in a variety of contexts, politicians have a habit of not getting out of their own way. And that's why I made the statement I did with regard to Merrick Garland. There are plenty of folks who would say, there, go get him. But if you're a rational prosecutor, you don't want to skew the case. Similarly, as I say, if you want the audience, and this is why they're doing these hearings in primetime, right, Matt? The whole point is we want the American people to understand A, B, C. I would suggest that you'd be better by just focusing on that. Now, as far as saying that the foreign president is a victim, you suggested a lot of people are going to have to fall on swords. I go back to the fact that to this point, enough people have that nothing has ever happened to him. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that's going to continue. I'm saying that when you are someone for whom everyone has fallen on their sword, then you don't see anything wrong with your behavior. That doesn't mean there isn't anything wrong. Look at the story that Chris Christie told this week. They had the Supreme Court event for Justice Coney Barrett. Everybody came to the White House. Everybody got COVID afterwards, including Chris Christie, who through his own admission had some comorbidities, namely asthma and obesity. He's very sick in a hospital with COVID. Mm-hmm. President Trump then got COVID. The president called Christie ostensibly to see how he was doing and then said, this is according to Christie, then said, you're not going to blame this on me, are you? And, you know, I mean, there's an attitude and little stories like that just beef the whole thing up that it's hard even for the strongest supporters.
I need a favor. I need a favor. I need a favor. That sort of thing. No, he knows how to say things in a very specific way. But the problem is his, you know, okay, let's run through the swords at this point. Okay. Roger Stone and Michael Flynn, they're both going to have to. All the head of the Oath Keepers, the head of the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, they're all going to have to fall on swords.
Well, how about Bannon?
And Bannon's in big trouble. We'll talk more about him in a second. But Bannon as well. Now you get to Meadows is going to have to fall on a sword. And it sounds like the Trump White House is starting to look at, can we pin this on Meadows sort of thing. You have Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, the Overstock guy, whoever that is. Then all the Republicans who were in that meeting on December 21st, especially any of them that asked for a pardon afterwards. They clearly then knew they were doing something illegal. They're going to have to fall on swords. Multiple people, probably the Department of Defense, are going to have to fall on swords. You're getting to the point now where there's so many people now are going to be, you know, implicated in this that the chances of him being able to walk away are pretty slim to none.
I'm not willing to go that far just because of the Teflon track record. You know, I mean,
is it Teflon
or is it Teflon?
I mean, there's a difference between Obama and Reagan and these guys that have it. There, it's more, it seems like the Republicans have circled the wagons 1,000 times around Trump just to prevent this from happening, and now that's falling apart.
Well, and it's not even the Republicans. It's the inner circle of Trump land. And those are two different things, right? You've got your main Republican Party that simply wanted to have power, and so they jumped on board whoever was in the office. And then you've got those in the inner Trump circle, the ones that are still there, the ones that are still sniffing around for jobs and endorsements, et cetera. So you've got a little bit of a distinction there. But, yeah, the inner core of the White House circle, that's what would need to be breached. It's not even a member of Congress, per se. It has to be somebody in that inner circle. And, you know, it would be hard for the former president to deny tweets when he was the one holding the phone, right? I mean, yes. That's one of the hooks, because when we've been talking for years on your program on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, we've been talking about the fact that people like former attorneys, right, they were the insulation, the plausible deniability. Mm. Well, how is there plausible deniability when he's the one holding the phone?
Exactly.
And sending out the messages. Blame Covfefe on some aide.
Jeff Stein joining us. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Listening in Madison on Double Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus, Waukesha, WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM, The Shaw, and in Minneapolis, St. Paul on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us right now. When I saw that, he was like I said, that was a miscommunication. Trump had called of witnesses, and I was like, is he trying to call witnesses to the stand? I would like to bring in some character witnesses for me, a Colonel Sanders, a Mayor McCheese, and a Burger King to speak on my behalf.
It doesn't matter what city I'm in, what my video backdrop is on the Facebook feed. Your impressions are – that's what's going to sell this show to this new audience.
Speaking of meaty. All right. Now, it really is remarkable. And like I said, wouldn't you say at least after yesterday, for the first time, this committee did actually say, here's what happened, starting on the 14th of December with the Electoral College, how we got to January 6th. I think – and one thing we should also add is – they all left when Trump told them to leave. Remember that? That was the other thing at the very end. We left because Trump told us to go. It really is incriminating, and it is basically gives us the whole picture of what exactly happened.
Which leads me to say, why didn't they lead with that? Right out of the gate at the first hearing. Don't know. Here's the other thing, though. Your audience, you, me, we pay attention to this. I guarantee you, yesterday's headlines for most people are ignored by 9.1% inflation. Mm. I'm not saying it's right. Yes, people can walk and chew gum at the same time. But you're in the middle of summer and it's shiny object season. And so I just suggest not getting too excited about it.
I also think that Roe v. Wade overturning is a planet blocking out the sun. I mean, that one is actually going to have a lot more impact, I think, for many more months to come. I'm not going to deny that. And also, I will say this. There's a lot of Republicans who their defense is that, oh, that's not Bill Barr. That's not Ivanka Trump. Those are body doubles. This is all fake and fraudulent. But you have seen the numbers for Trump start to slide. Now, it wasn't that long ago in the Pac-Man show that was on before us here, he was making the comment that it was only it was like a 40%, or excuse me, 30% still lead for Trump, but it was down dramatically with DeSantis starting to pick up steam. Do you think enough Republicans would ever turn against Trump to where he wouldn't be the front runner?
Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh. And it just has to do with electability, okay? Because what you've seen in these polls in these early states like New Hampshire and Iowa, you've seen DeSantis stay fairly stable. Trump has dropped with those people moving to undecided. That's the first shift. So, is it possible? Yeah. But what's it going to take? It's really the function of electability. Mm-hmm. Because there are enough suitors in waiting who can say, I'll take the Trump agenda. I will move that forward, but I don't have the Trump baggage. And depending on who that Republican will face, Biden, Harris, candidate of the week that everybody's talking about that they don't know, I think it's all going to come down to electability. It always does. But even with Trump devotees, I think that, you know, if it looked like he's not going to win, they'll jump.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one thing I'll clarify is you're exactly right on the Teflon status for him in regards to Republicans. Republicans, I mean, some presidents kind of cross that line, the party line, and they become Teflon. Trump is – he is – in the eyes of so many Republicans, he is just not a guy that they could ever look down upon, even if – you know, even if he's looking gun on the street. So there is that case. Bannon, let's talk about him really quick before we finish up. He clearly tried to get himself out of trouble by saying, now I can testify executive privilege has been waived, which it never was there in the first place. So this whole thing seems to be a joke. It seems like he was, you know, he was surprised that the you know, not obeying the subpoena, he's still going to face charges for that because that sticks. And now he's going in there and he thinks he thought for some reason he could dictate the terms of this. But, yeah, they're tired. I think they're tired of Steve Bannon and they're about to lay into him.
Well, there hasn't been a good judicial interpretation of the executive privilege on this issue. I'm not going to weigh in on whether it was valid or not, but the president was invoking it. Bannon said, well, if he's invoking it, I'm going to just let that play out. But Bannon is right in one respect. When we hold someone in contempt or try to hold them in contempt in order to compel them to do something, testify, for example, 95% of the time, the contempt citation goes away when the testimony starts. Mm-hmm. The contempt is simply there to compel testimony. I would suggest that you always could keep it over someone's head, but it usually does go away. It's not going away in the case of Bannon. Pointing out the fact that he may have outsmarted himself, but it's not because he was on shaky legal ground. Now, the executive privilege part, that may have been more shaky, but the concept of I agree to testify, the committee will take it, but that does not automatically, as is proven here, eliminate the contempt proceeding.
But, I mean, I thought that the Supreme Court had ruled, no, that you can't have executive privilege if there's investigating a crime. And clearly the storming of the U.S. Capitol is a crime. So I thought that they had already ruled.
It's not a criminal investigative body. The commission, this is where it's a little different. Grand jury might have been different.
But I thought that they did try to stop this for this committee, and the Supreme Court said we're not going to get in the way because Biden had waived the executive privilege. He said, I'm the executive. There, no one else is, and I'm not going to get in the way of this. And so I thought
don't think there's been litigation on the exact issue of when a president's privilege ends. Does it automatically end when the next guy takes the oath? Regardless, the point that you're making is Bannon thought that he could eliminate the criminal trial next week. And usually that's the case, but not so much here.
Speaking of Bannon, there was one point yesterday in the hearing that there was two calls made by Trump, and they pointed out that after he and Trump had talked, that Bannon was coming out with this storm the Capitol talking points sort of thing on his show. And as a matter of fact, there have been a few people that have been putting out the talking points that Bannon was using. It clearly is he's part of this as well. Like you said, Bannon's going to have to fall on a sword. I mean, I just don't see how if this does go down the path of prosecution, how he avoids, going to court at least as well.
Well, the problem with Bannon and to some degree. Who's the other one who just got cuffed and stuffed? I can't remember now.
Not Eastman. Who was the other guy?
The guy that wanted to be the AG.
The guy that wanted to be the AG. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no. I'm talking about he was the Navarro.
Navarro. Oh, Navarro.
Here's the thing with both of them. They both talked so much on TV, on radio, yes, etc. The track record is very clear. It's not subject to interpretation like a 10-word tweet. And so they have a much more difficult time because Bannon did it every day on his show and Navarro was a guest. Navarro's still speaking, even though he's currently under indictment. As a lawyer, I would say this is not the best plan.
Navarro is another one. I think Donald Trump Jr. Ivanka, might be able to wiggle out of it. And I don't think Eric did enough there, but Donald Trump Jr. could also be in trouble on this as well. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of swords. And do you think Trump's not going to get in the way of that sword for Eric Jr.? I'm going to tell you that right now. So Jeff Stein, once again, joins us here. We'll post the Iowa Politics Report a little bit later on. Jeff, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much. For the folks in Madison, Waukesha, Milwaukee area, get ready for Devil's Radio next hour. We're back hour two in Minneapolis, St. Paul up next. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, hour two of the show today. Good to be with you. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Thanks very much to Todd Coolidge for sponsoring AM 950 this week. Todd, of course, lived here in Minneapolis, loved the station, moved to Spain, still love the station, but can't go to the sponsors, so he sponsors us. Thank you very much. He has been on point talking about Lifeline Ukraine. This is the organization offering mental health and suicide prevention hotlines in Ukraine. I got the Patreon page listed on the social media pages. Go click on the link, become a Patreon, help support Lifeline Ukraine. Obviously, a lot of people that need a lot of help. So please do if you can. And thank you very much to Todd. 952-946-6205. Brett, it is that time of year again. It happens Raspberry Festival. The Golden
Raspberry. Oh, I know where we're going. Okay.
The Golden Raspberry. I'm molting. No, it's not that. Not this time. That's September. This is the Raspberry Festival. They do the Golden Raspberry, which is a medallion, not, one of those. Sorry, I just got the studio a lot wetter than it needed to be. But it's the Golden Raspberry. It's a medallion that they hide in Hopkins. And usually they've done this for Monday through Friday, but this year they started it on today. So I got the first clue here.
You didn't find it yet, did you?
No one's found it yet. Well, I haven't had to. Oh, I got a story. There's a reason I haven't had too much time to go look for it today. Clue number one, 88 is great. The 88th Hopkins Raspberry Festival is here. You're all waiting for golden raspberry clues. Time to raise this search into gear. Vexing all of you with the lead clue, let everyone yet again see. Perhaps starting with a rough kick? Nope, it's right by a tree. Well, so all we have to do is find a tree in Hopkins. All right, there it is. Once we find that, there we go. It's got to be on public land, so it's got to be like in a park. It's got to be on a city park, too. It can't be like the U.S. Post Office. That's a federal government thing. It can't be on like a highway or anything like that. So it's got to be in a park and it's by a tree. I don't know. How many trees do you think are in parks in Hopkins? Okay, I'll see if I can go find it tonight. Bring honor and glory to AM 950.
I just hope I stumble upon it sometime.
God, if it
just
does,
to your chagrin, yeah.
Just will be the worst day ever. Hey, I took my first time looking and I found it in the first 20 minutes. Here it is, right over here.
Yeah, you've looked for that thing, I think, since I've started working here at the station. It's been the yearly quest. And
I'm going to be like Flavor Flav. I'm going to put it on a medallion, and I'm going to wear it on my chest forever when I find it. When I find it, that's what it's going to be. Boy! I'll refrain from staying. I won't say that stuff. All right, so I got to go out and look for a tree. Raspberry Festival going on in Hopkins this weekend, so enjoy. They got one of the better parades. That's a long parade. Is it the second longest behind the Anoka Halloween parade?
I'm not sure on that.
Oh, I think Anoka Halloween was a longer one. I think that was a longer one, but this is a long parade. Well, but all of them got kind of cut short with the COVID and stuff.
So do you have a park picked out that you're going to tonight? Not saying you have to name it. We don't want to give people too many hints and tip them off where it could be.
Do I have a park? Let me look that in. Time to raise a search in your gear. Vexing all you. Vexing. Vexing. Rough kick. I got an idea. But I don't know of many trees that are over there, though. And I'm dead serious. I don't know of many trees that are over there. But I got an idea. I'll have to go see. So I love the sound. I really do. I do. I go to all different parts of it. I've talked about – I love Hopkins, where I live, Minneapolis, St. Paul. You're in my heart. I love you very dearly. I go around to Woodbury, Invergrove Heights, Eden Prairie, Minnetonka, Maple Grove. I was up there a few weeks ago. Lovely part of town. Go up in the North Metro. I was up in the North Metro early this morning because the USA Soccer Cup is going on. This is that big soccer tournament that's up there.
That's a big tournament. Yeah, there are a lot of teams.
There it is. There. The game started at 7 a.m. Oh, crack of six.
Oh, did your kid get in the 7 a.m. game?
I'm okay with that because it was a great temperature to play soccer, but at the same time, it was an early morning. So I roll out of there and I head up there. Play the soccer game. They got destroyed. But I started heading on back. And I'm trying to – I've got 45 minutes to basically get from Blaine back to Hopkins, pick up a kid and get over to a dental appointment in Edina. 45 minutes, you say to yourself, oh, that shouldn't be a problem. If you've been to the USA Cup, you've ever been up there when the you know what's coming. It took me nine cycles of the traffic lights to finally take a left turn onto Central 65 in Blaine. Nine. I was there. It took me 20 minutes to go 1.5 miles, and it wasn't bumper to bumper traffic. It wasn't an accident or anything like that. It was just poor design and planning.
So you were trying to take a left onto 65 from this light, right?
Yes.
Oh, and I know which one you're talking about. 105th.
It's 105th or 109th up there.
Yeah, and the light's green for like 2 seconds.
Yeah. Who designed that, by the way? Good thinking when you have basically 5,000 families trying to get back on the highway. It's just, okay, it's great you guys got that up there. It is nice. That is a nice thing to have there. And you can't deny that that tournament brings out a lot of people. But this is just horrific design. That is, I'm going to say this, and this is nothing against USA Cup. I don't know how much I can put on Blaine here either, because it is Minnesota 65. But we're not going to do this again. I'm sitting there waiting to take a left turn, waiting to go, taking 20 minutes to go 1.5 miles, not because of traffic, not because of anything else. Traffic on the highway or anything like this, just because the design of the interchanges are so damn bad. If I was to take U.S. Bank Stadium and put it in Waconia or Zimmerman or maybe down in Faribault or something like that, and I didn't update the infrastructure around it, it would be the same exact thing. You basically put a major sports complex up on roads where it's like, we're still a country town. No, you're not. You can't do that. And all it is, and like I said, I feel sorry for the families that are trying to get out of there that have a second game that day and are trying to get down and trying to get home, trying to get some things done. You know, it's just an absolute freaking nightmare. And once again, it's just horrible design. 65 Central at that point should have been made a highway. It should have been made a highway with no traffic lights years ago. And I don't know. I posted about this on social media a little bit earlier today, and I did get a message from the city of Blaine, which came back and they said, we're on board with you. We need to change this. But I also do wonder how much this not being upgraded. I mean, if you know, it's what is it, 101st, 105th, 109th. At all these major intersections, there's a lot of businesses, gas stations and restaurants that are there who I imagine push back quite a bit on the idea of, let's just get rid of that light, build a bridge or build a tunnel, and basically get through this area and make the traffic move a lot faster. Then all of a sudden, to get people into all those restaurants and stores, you're having to get them to, you know, divert when they're off the highway, and that actually, you know, they're concerned about whether they're going to see a drop in customers. That is one of the most obnoxiously bad stretches. I mean, just in the history of poor design I have seen, and trust me, I have been here when Molnau suggested after the 35W bridge collapse that we rebuild the bridge with no ability to expand it or no ability for mass transportation. Dumb. I saw Carol Molnau as well decide to shut down the Crosstown Commons. She was going to shut it down for 6 years and have the same exact amount of lanes going into it as it was before. Genius! Carol Molnau was a horrible Department of Transportation. She was the absolute worst person to have run the Department of Transportation. So I've seen bad ideas. I remember on 169 at 494 in the Southwest Metro, they got rid of all the traffic lights Old Shakopee Road, Pioneer Trail, Anderson Lakes. They got rid of all those traffic lights where each one of them had like a quarter mile backup, and then they made a 2.5 mile backup at 169 because they still had the traffic lights there.
That was the area I grew up in. Hearing about how, yeah, a lot of businesses actually were pushing back on the idea of making that a freeway.
Yeah.
Kind of going to your point that I think you could be onto something up in Blaine where the businesses are thinking, well, how are we going to get our foot traffic in if people have to leave the highway?
When they finally fixed 169 and 494, when they finally fixed that, they did not put a ramp. They did not put a ramp from 169 south to 494 west. You actually have to get off the highway, do a roundabout, and go there. And they did that, and this is – talk about, you know, foresight. They did that to keep the Vikings happy there at the Vikings facility that used to be in Eden Prairie at 169 and 494. And they finished that highway, and I think a month later, the Vikings announced they were moving over to Eagan. They did that specifically for the Vikings, and it's one of the stupidest design plans I've ever seen in my life. Just absolutely boneheaded. I've seen bad decisions. At this point, to a point when I look at 695 Central in Blaine, I think one of the things that I look at is that, okay, this is really – first of all, let's be honest – Blaine has been a conservative part of the state. But this is what Republican transportation policy gets you. They talk out of both sides of their caboose. On one side, they sit there and say, we're never going to sponsor light rail or buses or mass transportation. None of that stuff. Only road construction. That's the only thing we're going to do. And then you say to them, well, have you seen Central 65 here? And speaking of road construction, let's make this into a highway. Well, that would be expensive. We can't just do that, which, you know, we got all this money. The Republican transportation bill is about making sure every, you know, private golf course has a fine road up to it so that the wealthy people aren't inconvenienced. So we don't have money for that. Paraphrasing somewhat. No, I am. I stared at traffic cameras for 6 years. I stared at traffic cameras for Metro traffic for 6 years. It got very repetitive. And one of the things when you see it and you see it every day, one of the things you realize is you could fix a lot of these things with just some common sense. You know, changes, upgrades. And for people, it's like, well, that's going to be expensive. It's going to be a lot less expensive today than it will be in 20 years. Guarantee you. If they would have built started building light rail lines after the first line, they would be a lot less expensive than they are now. They would. Every day you wait to try to do something, it costs more money. And the roads in this town are atrociously ill-designed. It doesn't – you're at the point where I am saying I am not going to go to the soccer tournament. My kid's not going to do this next year. My kids are both not going to do this next year because just getting to that place and getting out of that place is such a pain in the tuckus. It's not worth our time. And once again, I'll back up what the guys at the sports complex are doing. They got police there trying to direct traffic, get people to parking lots, stuff like this. But it doesn't do any good if just for everyone, no matter what road you're on, to get back out into Central 65, it takes you 20, 30 minutes just to make a freaking left turn. That's just poor design. And everyone can see the problem. What I don't see is the Republicans offering any kind of solutions for it. Gas prices costed you much? Well, I got news for you. Thanks to Republicans, you're sitting in your car idling that thing for 20 freaking minutes because they don't want to upgrade the roads. Be a lot less. And by the way, they're still trying to stop you from having the choice of buying an electric vehicle. They want to stop you from even having the option of getting one. The ramifications of stuff like this are far reaching. I'm not questioning, you know, whether or not Blaine wants an upgrade. I imagine they do. Because I can't imagine if you reside there that this has got to be something. How many times do people say, oh, let's go out and get some dinner? And then first thing they say is, oh, God, but yeah, we take that turn and we got to take the left turn back onto the highway. It's going to take us, you know, 45 minutes. I don't want to do that. We'll just pass on it. And we'll just make our own food that night or something like that. I mean, if you're getting to the point where people are saying, you know what, enough's enough, I'm not going to do this. Well, then I think you've somewhat failed with your policies, and you need to step back and fix that. And I am not denying 65 is a state highway. That is, so that needs to be state dollars. But then that means the Republican Party, which means you're wasting my taxpayer dollars unless that's a road that I can basically, you know, make sure only wealthy people use, because I'm a Republican and that's what I think common sense traffic is. Yes, they do. They do. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. A lot of crime talk when I come back after this. We'll take a break right now and come back, take some calls. Vern as well wants to chime in on this. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Nearly half the floors of the IDS Center are being evacuated due to flooding right now. Yee. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It makes a lovely fountain, though. Just open some of the windows.
Open the windows.
Just open the windows. There it goes. Off it goes. Then you can dry it out. You got a wind up there, for goodness sakes. It will dry out real quick. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You didn't put windows on it? Okay. So I'll tell you what. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Vern is in White Bear. He wanted to try him in on traffic on the north side. Welcome on in, Vern.
Hi, Matt. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Good to hear from you.
I'm actually not in White Bear, but I pulled over because I don't want to drive and try to talk to you at the same time.
All right.
I grew up in Mounds View. My folks moved there. I was born in St. Paul. My folks moved to Mounds View in 1950. I was there until I got drafted in the 67. I learned to drive in 62. It's my observation.
Do we lose him?
Uh-oh, I think we lost Vern.
All right. Hey, Vern, try to call back again. We'll try to get you on here in a little bit, okay? I appreciate it. 952-946-6205. I wanted to have him finish up his story there. So I want to start off we'll, like I said, hopefully get back to Vern here in a second, but I want to start off with crime, because if you've been paying attention, Republicans, especially since Roe v. Wade's overturning, are screaming about crime at the top of their lungs to try to change the subject. And another crime happened. I mean, that's why, I mean, every Republican's, look at the fireworks going off in Minneapolis. And as I had a black friend point out to me, he says, you know, the only reason these people are pointing this off is that the people are setting off these fireworks seem to be black in the footage. Is that if white people doing this doesn't get the coverage. And that I think that was the point. That was kind of the whole point there on that, that it was, you know, kind of the case. Well, now fireworks seems to be a go-to thing. Fireworks set off inside the Imagine movie theater in Eagan on Tuesday night. Police say they received several calls reporting a firework going off just before 8:30. Authorities noted that several people were treated in minor injuries and released. An early investigation showed that suspect lit the firework, left the theater before it went off. No arrests have been made as of Wednesday morning. The case remains under investigation. My guess is you're under camera there. But it's been interesting because there's this narrative, apparently. Now, this once again is an Egan, that somehow Democrats have failed us because, look, a firework went off in this theater. What are you suggesting people do to stop something? Because this just sounds stupid. I mean, do people have to now go through and get patted down every time they want to go see Thor, Love, and Thunder? Is that what is going on?
Only way you can stop someone with fireworks is a good guy with
fireworks. That's what it is.
Fireworks.
If you see someone with a firework, we're going to give everyone a firework and a lighter, a lit lighter. And if you see anyone with the fireworks doing something bad, well, then you unload your fireworks there because, you see, that will solve the problem. Wow. I don't know, but this is – Republicans right now are going nuts because it's chaos under control. Mind you, the Republicans are the ones saying they want to expand fireworks in the state of Minnesota next year if they get control of the House and the Senate. But okay. Really quick, I'll take a break here. Vern's back. Vern, I'm sorry you got disconnected. Go ahead. By all means, please.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. What I was going to say is it seems to me it's always about the income, the median income of the particular area. And the northern suburbs have always been, you know, left to the tail end of all this kind of financing and money towards better improvement of roads and streets and stuff like that. And Highway 65, my God, it used to be far, far worse than that. All those side roads were all hooked up to 65. So, you know, the fact that it's down to a few is trying to make it better. But I know what you're talking about up there because, we used to go up in 65 and there wasn't a traffic light from there to practically Cambridge, I swear. So, and you think about Elk River, what happened there. Elk River, when you turn north from Highway 10, it was one traffic light and it wasn't a light till you got to Princeton. There's probably six lights in a row now there in Elk River before you clear it all. So,
go to Otsego, yeah.
You're right. Yep, you're right. They need to, and I commuted from Princeton for a while too, and I remember 101 having to be improved several times, the bridge made bigger, you know, between Elk River and Rogers. So, there's more money needs to go to it, and we know who's holding it up. It's the same people, same party.
It doesn't surprise me. And Vern, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. Here's what I'll add on that. It is Republicans. Republicans go into these blue collar communities and say, hey, the reason you're not making a lot of money is because the Democrats, you'd be a billionaire if not for the Democrats. And because Republicans have kept conditions poor, well, guess what? The blue collar workers in those areas start looking at the Republicans like, oh, they'll be my savior. The reality is they have no intention of helping you. They'll basically, all they'll do is point to someone else and say, well, you wonder why that road's not good. Well, that's because of the Democrats, even though the Democrats are the ones trying to expand the road. They did the same thing with broadband in outstate Minnesota. The Democrats were trying to pass broadband for 20 years or for 10 years. For 10 years, they've been trying to pass a broadband bill. And the Republicans would always say, well, we can't pass it. The Democrats aren't going to let us. Democrats were the ones they were trying to. But you get into these conservative communities and they just want to believe the narrative more than the reality. The reality is conservatives have been running the North Metro for a long time, and your infrastructure up there needs a dramatic improvement. And that's not one light every 20 years. That's not one intersection every 20 years. If you want to fix things in the North Metro, vote Democrat. And that's this, that. And that's just the reality of it. 952-946-6205. Now, one thing I'm going to – before I get into the break here, I'm going to say – I was talking about the fireworks story. Republicans are trying desperately to, oh, look at the fireworks going on. Fireworks in 4th of July. Oh, bad, horrible. Oh, my God. And it's like, it wasn't great, but it wasn't exactly the crime of the century. And it surely wasn't nearly as tragic and horrible as what happened in Highland Park, Illinois, which, once again, Republicans didn't want to talk about that, which shows you it's not about crime. It's about the narrative they want to push forward. They get this fireworks that gets off in Eagan, and this is the Democrats. Look what's happening. How in the hell are you going to stop someone from doing this? Maybe what we should do is stop the sale of fireworks. That might help if people can't just go buy fireworks and then go into a movie theater and chuck them in there. Maybe that's a good idea to do that. Just a suggestion. Just a suggestion. So there are certain things that Republicans, certain crimes Republicans are going to be screaming at the top of their lungs about. But I've got some crime stories that Republicans will not say a damn word about. But we'll talk about them when we do return. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. I will, once again, I do want to remind people, we got coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour, Devil Radio for an hour, then Native Roots Radio, I Am Awake, with Robert Pilot and crew. That comes up here in the 6 o'clock hour right here on AM 950. Stay with us on that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So we talked about what our Republicans wanted to talk about. Well, they want to talk about crime, but only certain kinds of crime, mainly crime that involves black people or minorities, and crime that can be sensationalized, like fireworks going off and stuff like that, where you're seeing it now is like fireworks were set off in a movie theater. Oh, my God, we need a crackdown. There need to be, you know, guards. There need to be a police station at every theater. You need to have – I don't know what you're expecting to do here, but that's – some knuckleheads doing this, find the people who did it and charge them with a crime. Just like what happened out – one of the things I said when you had the carjackers that happened in St. Louis Park at the Lunds Barley's over there and the ones down in Edina. I said, trust me, their lives are about to go bad. And what happened? Within a few hours, they had these guys. They knew exactly who they were. They're being charged to the fullest extent of the law. And have we had any carjackings in St. Louis Park or Edina? Not to my knowledge. No major sensationalized ones. That's at least for sure. And so, yeah. You prosecute the person. You tell them we're going to go to jail for 10 years because you were stupid enough to light off a firework in a movie theater. And that sort of cleans up the problem right there. But there are a lot of Republicans out there that don't want to talk about certain crimes. Now, the first hour, we talked about the Republicans who were desperately trying to get the story, the tragic story of a 10-year-old who was raped, who was basically in Ohio, would have been forced to carry a rapist baby to term. She was able to go over and get an abortion in Indiana, and because they still had that option on the table. And of course, Republicans, because when Joe Biden brought this up, tried to insist that this woman, this girl did not exist. It was a made up case. Well, they charged the guy now. So no, this is a real case. This actually did happen. And even the Republican Attorney General of Ohio went out there and was basically re-victimizing the 10-year-old by accusing her of not even existing. Wow. And let alone, once again, it brought up the question is like, okay, if you're in Ohio, how many crimes has that attorney general not prosecuted because they go against his political narrative? That's pretty disturbing. So there's going to be a lot of Republicans who all of a sudden were really getting vocal. I mean, Kristi Noem was on there. A lot of people on Fox News were out there all saying that this girl didn't even exist, and now she does. How many of those Republicans are going to come out here and say, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I should have never said this. This is a horrible tragedy. My God, what have I become? Maybe I should get away from politics. I don't know. And soul searching is kind of an individual choice. But you want another story that the Republicans won't talk about, crime that they won't talk about. A supporter of Donald Trump who reported a fire on his property where graffiti saying Biden 2020 BLM for Black Lives Matter and the Antichrist symbol, or not the Antichrist, anarchist. You got to check your typos there. I think this is bringing me the news. Anarchist symbol was painted on his garage. Started it himself, apparently. Oh, that guy. By the way, can I tell you, I think when this story did break, I think the first thing I said is the way this guy is screaming about all you liberals, look what you did. I said, would I be surprised if this guy said it himself? And I think you actually, Brett, I think you were the first one to say it. I think you were saying, would you be surprised if this guy set these fires himself? Well,
how many anarchists are going for Joe Biden? I mean, there's not a lot of crossover between them.
That the graffiti aside, I mean, the nefarious thing is here is this, the Black Lives Matter being included in there. Clearly trying to vilify black people. As he did this, Dennis Mola, 29, of Brooklyn Center, has been indicted by a federal grand jury with two counts of wire fraud in connection to the September 23rd, 2020 fire and vandalism. The garage and three vehicles in his home in the 6900 block of Morgan Avenue North were destroyed in a fire, with police arriving and seen to find political slogans graffitied in blue on the garage door. Mola told police he was targeted because he was flying a Trump 2020 flag on his camper. He claims he saw three people in his yard the night of the fire. Liar! Liar! At this time, he was noted that some of the graffiti didn't even make sense, with a symbol for anarchist confusingly included alongside a slogan showing support for political candidate in Biden. as you brought up. It's possible, though, the A sign was meant to signify Antifa. Oh, ha, ha. Given his wife blamed Black Lives Matter and Antifa for the fire in the Facebook post. Oh, A stands for, it could be a scarlet letter. I mean, it's been a long time since I've read that book. I mean, it could be there. It could be for apples. Delicious. Oh, who doesn't love a delicious? It's September, too. This happens. It could be delicious apples that they're talking about. No, it's not anarchists. It's Antifa. Because they're so organized and controlled.
Apparently a confused Antifa activist, too, not knowing the anarchy symbol.
Yeah. He just fell in love with the logo, so he's like, I'm going to use that. You're lucky he didn't come out and say, choosy moms, choose Jif, or something like that. Antifa. Oh, it's Antifa. Nothing. I'm not saying Jif endorses any of this, but I'm just saying. Oh, so yeah, these idiots spray painted their – it sounds like these idiots allegedly. Sounds like these idiots spray painted their own house and didn't even understand that the A for anarchist was actually – can you pick up a Sex Pistols album? You need to pick that up to understand that. You'll understand it a little bit better. But they thought it was for Antifa. All right. The indictment against Mullen alleges he started the fires himself as well as spray painting the graffiti on his garage. He has been charged with submitting more than $300,000 in fraudulent insurance claims. Okay, I saw the camper. I saw the garage. Garage, maybe 80,000. The camper, maybe 50. Maybe. You try to get $300,000, of which he received $61,000 in payouts. He's also received $17,000 from donors through several GoFundMe campaigns. We're standing up to those mean liberals who tried to attack. Oh, me? Oh, no, you want the money back. $17,000 from donors he got set up through GoFundMe campaigns in the wake of the fire, one of which he set up himself. That's got to be one of the fraud charges right there. I don't think you can do that. After the fire, his wife posted on Facebook this morning, 3:48 a.m. We woke up to a loud explosion and saw our camper was on fire, along with both of Dennis's truck, his garage, our entire backyard. Thank God our main house is safe. We are safe. Our children is safe. Can I ask, did you wake up when your husband got up to go do all that? It would seem to me that you didn't wake up. The fire woke you up, okay. But when he left the bedroom, did he not know? Nothing? Okay. Good luck in court. Innocent until proven guilty, okay? Innocent until proven guilty. But we even said, considering how much this guy was trying to make this into an issue, it seemed a little bit iffy. That's how quick are Republicans going to get to talk about that story? Because I remember a lot of Republicans condemning Democrats, like, look at what they're doing. Dang you, Antifa. Dang you, Black Lives Matter. Look what you're doing. Oh, you're just horrible people. How many Republicans have come on out to condemn this guy? Zero. I don't think anyone has. Not a single one. Like a lot of people apologizing for them insisting the 10-year-old girl who got raped didn't exist after re-victimizing her after her crime. Zero Republicans not so concerned about crime in this case. Oh, I got another one. Another one. Crime Republicans will not talk about. A 64-year-old southwestern Minnesota farmer is facing federal charges in connection to a multi-million dollar organic grain fraud scheme. James Clayton Wolf of Jeffers is accused of defrauding grain purchasers by selling non-GMO grains that were falsely labeled as organic. The U.S. Attorney's Office said on Tuesday he faces three counts of wire fraud and that his make his initial court appearance on July 22nd. Court documents say the certified organic farmer Wolf repeatedly purchased non-organic corn and soybeans from a grain seller, resold the grain as an organic product. Prosecutors say that this happened from 2014 to 2020. Additionally, Wolf also does not have a grain buyer's license to make such purchases. Wolf is also alleged to have grown conventionally farmed crops using chemical fertilizers and pesticides, which is in violation of organic farming standards. He lost his organic certification in 2020, but he continued to sell non-GMO false grain falsely labeled as organic through an associate, court records show. In all, Wolf made over $46 million in the wire fraud scheme. $46 million this guy stole. According to the United States Department of Agriculture, organic farming uses non-GMO seeds and crops that are grown without chemicals and fertilizers. It generates higher prices in the market than non-organic crops. Wire fraud is a felony punished of a lot to 20 years in prison, according to federal sentencing guidelines. Now, the question here is, going with our theme of this segment, will Republicans bring this crime up? Twist, I think they will, but not to condemn it, but to kind of make apology. Come on, man! This is a farmer! Okay, I don't believe in fraud, but come on, he's salt of the earth kind of guy. Who doesn't want to be a millionaire? I'm not saying you should commit crime, but I mean, everybody wants to be a millionaire. Come on. What's the big problem here? I think a stern warning and letting him go, that's the path of action. That is what I'm going to guess. If Republicans bring this case up at all, that will be the tone that they take. He stole $46 million through fraudulent means. $46 million. And he doesn't have that grain buyer's license. Oh, God. Actually, you want to know the truth is, something tells me the law on that one is pretty severe. He's not going to wiggle out of that one. That's going to be 2 years in jail. You're just done. That's going to be the case. $46 million. $46 million. $46 million. Wow, that's a pretty intense crime for many years. Clear intent. Will Republicans bring this up? Probably not. Probably not. And the reason why is because it doesn't involve black people. Doesn't involve fireworks. Doesn't involve scaring people in Minneapolis, North Minneapolis. Oh, my God. They don't care about crime unless it fits their narrative. And even though this guy, in the last few years, I haven't known too many people that have stolen $46 million, but that's going to be one of the most severe crimes that's out there. And most Republicans will not even say a peep, even though he defrauded other farmers. He defrauded other farmers, for goodness sakes. So, crime that Republicans will talk about, crimes that Republicans won't talk about. But if I can, a little bit of help for you out there on the DFL side. You're going to run into a lot of Republicans who are – the first thing is – have you seen this tactic? You know, you Democrats, you don't want to talk about rounding up guns in the North Minneapolis. You don't want to talk about cutting down on gun crime there. They've tried to make this both sides of the coin sort of argument. And I think it's time for the DFL to call their bluff. Oh, okay. You're upset about crime in North Minneapolis that includes firearms. Okay, let's make a firearm database so we know who all the firearms are. That if you do not have a firearm that is not registered within the database, it gets confiscated and you're arrested for a crime. We can start tracking bullets too. I think that would be the case. And we should start making gun owners carry insurance on the guns. I think that is a good idea. That will help cover some of the costs of these massacres that are coming across the country that happen all these times. Take advantage of that opportunity. I think, you know what? Republicans, you're right on this. I think we should create a database and start rounding up the guns everywhere. See, because there's the problem for Republicans. Republicans love that when it's black people with guns or Latino people with guns. or anyone else but white Republican Christians with guns. They love the idea of rounding up their guns and making sure they don't have any guns. But they don't like the idea when you apply those same crimes, even though those crimes happen. There are shootings that happen every day out in rural Minnesota. There are murders that happen every day in rural Minnesota. I mean, not every day, but they do. And for a percentage of the population, it's much higher than it happens in Minneapolis. I can tell you that right now. They love the idea of floating the narrative of confiscating the guns, putting the black people under the jackbooted, you know, the authority of white people. They love that narrative. So if this they're trying to say that we need to start confiscating guns, okay, let's start confiscating guns and create a database and start doing this. But the minute you suggest doing that for a white person, well, all of a sudden, you're violating their rights. You see, the Republicans do not care about crime. They only care about crimes that validate their narrative. And so when you point out someone like the Buffalo Hospital Clinic shooter who should have never had a gun, who should have had that gun rounded up, and you say, hey, maybe we should have rounded that up. And they're first, oh, you know, I don't agree with the shooter, but, you know, that's a slippery slope, Matt. We can't do that. But all of a sudden it's there was some gunfire in Minneapolis. Well, you need to crack down and kick open every door in that city and confiscate every gun that exists. Ah, I see. Crime only matters to them when the individual has a skin color tone that allows them to run with their narrative in rural Minnesota. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, there was a Supreme Court ruling from Minnesota here today. On Wednesday, state law protects communications between sexual assault counselors and people who come to them for help, a significant victory for victim advocacy groups who say the law has been applied inconsistently for decades. The ruling reverses a decision by a district judge who allowed court review of a woman's notes, memoranda, records, reports, or any other communications with a Southern Minnesota sexual assault advocacy group in a criminal case. The lower court's actions were unreasonable because the plain language of Minnesota law creates a privilege for sexual assault counselors that cannot be pierced in a criminal proceeding without the victim's consent, wrote the Supreme Court Associate Judge Natalie Hudson. In 1982, the Minnesota legislature passed a law that said sexual assault counselors can't disclose any opinion or information received from or about the victim without the person's consent. The law mirrored confidentiality language. It also applied to therapists, chemical dependency counselors, and members of the clergy and others. But over the years, state judges have sometimes ruled in favor of defendants who subpoena records from sexual assault counseling groups, allowing for in-camera review. That means judges and their staff can review the records behind closed doors and decide if those records are relevant to the case. If that's what happened in southern Minnesota, where a criminal defendant in a sexual assault case subpoenaed records from the Hope Coalition, a sexual assault counseling agency, in December of 2019, a district court ordered the coalition to disclose any and all documentation concerning the victim over a five-year period. Once again, re-victimizing the victims in these cases. Needless to say, the Supreme Court has basically come on down and said, yeah, enough is enough. Enough is enough. And they've said, no, you can't do that anymore. I also wanted to touch really quick. I was talking about youth sports. The story, 9 years, a woman led a campaign of lies against a basketball coach. She has basically had to pay $50,000 to settle the coach's defamation lawsuit. Julie Bolin, 55, has signed documents Monday admitting she made numerous false accusations against Nathan McGuire, leading to his 2014 dismissal as a Woodbury High School girls basketball coach. The settlement comes 3 years after the Minnesota Supreme Court received a lawsuit finding for the first time that a parent's criticism of a high school coach is not protected by First Amendment because the coach is not a public figure. It feels good to get to close this chapter, said McGuire 47 in an interview on Monday in the Washington County Courthouse in Stillwater. In 2011-12, McGuire coached varsity girls basketball at Academy of Holy Angels in Richfield, where Boland's daughter, Brooke, played for him as a standout seventh grader. McGuire left him for the Woodbury job a year later. Brooke followed, enrolling in Woodbury to play for him as a freshman. So that'd be ninth grade. But a week into the 2013-2014 season, Boland became angry when McGuire had Brooke scrimmaging with junior varsity players, according to a letter she signed as part of the legal agreement. So once again, I want to make the thing that sent this woman over the edge was her daughter once or twice scrimmaging with the JV as opposed to the varsity. And she freaking lost it. Over the next 2 weeks, Boland met with booster club leadership, activities directors, and the principal, falsely claiming McGuire had been fired from his last job. Boland even spoke with an attorney about possibly suing McGuire before finally enrolling Brooke in another school on December 9th, 16 days after the scrimmage. She, along with the mothers of Woodbury players, were unhappy with McGuire's coaching decision the year before, convened in January 14th meeting with a superintendent and human resources director, where they accused McGuire of bullying, pushing, manipulation, harassment, aggression, and other forms of mistreatment. South Washington County Schools quickly suspended McGuire from coaching and hired a law firm to investigate. A week later, Boland fired a student maltreatment report with the Minnesota Department of Education, urging other mothers to do the same. Boland admitted the signed letter that all these allegations were false. Both the district and the state investigations cleared McGuire of any wrongdoing, still got fired. And basically, Boland went on a campaign to make sure that he never worked again. She kept lying about the guy. It was unbelievable. I'm sorry. I think this woman is getting off way too easily, if you ask me. I think $50,000. Now, if she doesn't comply, it comes $350,000. But still, I'm sorry. I think this might even branch into legal time, jail time, in my opinion. Destroying someone's life, please. Devil's Radio up next. Have a good one. We are back on a Thursday. Till then, see ya.